Christ Church, Branchville, Alabama, presents this podcast of the weekly sermon. If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact Deacons at ChristChurchBranchCove.org. Enjoy the sermon.
Our sermon text this morning is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 1 through 25. Luke 1, 1 to 25. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word deliver them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice in this day that you have made. We praise you for the privilege to come into your holy presence, to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, for his gracious condescension and his willing sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. We praise your holy name. We are grateful for the blessing of your Spirit dwelling within us and drawing us to yourself. Bless us now in our hearing of thy holy word. Conform us to the image of your Son. Strengthen our faith and our covenant faithfulness to you. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the second Sunday of the season of Advent. Now, during Advent, we commemorate the coming of the Son of God in the flesh. Boys and girls, do you know what Advent means? The word Advent. It means coming. Advent means coming. Advent builds up to the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which we celebrate at Christmas. Now, Advent is a time of preparation. The King is coming. The people are waiting for the King. Now, even though the Son of God has already come in the flesh, that does not eliminate the importance of waiting by the people of God. Like it or not, God still has his people wait. Waiting has always been a part of God's interactions with his people. Go back all the way to the beginning, the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1. God promised Adam and Eve that all the trees were theirs for food. All of them. Yet in the prohibition of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God essentially told them they'd have to wait. As wickedness grew on the earth during the days of Noah, God commanded him to build an ark because a flood was coming. Noah, that preacher of righteousness, had to wait. Boys and girls, you know how long he had to wait? 120 years for the flood. 120 years to wait until he was vindicated. Can you think of anyone else whom God made promises but had to wait? What about Abraham? Father Abraham, you shall have a son. Your barren wife will give birth to the promised seed. How long did they have to wait? 25 years. 25 years after the promise. Moses submitted to the Lord, led the Israelites out of Egypt. He led that nation of grumblers through the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years of waiting. 40 years until the Lord fulfilled his promise of giving them Canaan. 40 years until the promised land. David had to wait while Saul was king until he would ascend to the throne. The remnant had to wait in exile for 70 years in Babylon before returning to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And from the ministry of Malachi until the fulfillment of his prophecies, Israel had to wait over 400 years. And you, brothers and sisters, had to wait, as I went through that list of people in the Bible waiting. And we could come up with more, couldn't we? You probably have some in your mind, other people in the Bible who had to wait. If we sat down after the service, we go over the fellowship hall, we sit down, we could make a list. Pretty good list of God's people waiting, whether in the Bible or in history. It would be like a Hebrews 11 list of waiters, faithful saints waiting. But since we could recall so many occasions where the saints had to wait, it's pretty obvious that God purposely makes people wait. And it seems inescapable that waiting is an important part of the Christian faith. Why is that the case? Why does God have us wait? What value is there in waiting? We have another example of waiting in our sermon text this morning. This being the season of Advent, we hear from a passage of Scripture leading up to the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in Luke chapter 1, we hear the angel, Gabriel, deliver the message of the promised birth of John the forerunner. Gabriel came to Zechariah while he was in the temple. And despite Zechariah's old age and the old age of his wife Elizabeth, Gabriel promised the Lord would give them a son. Now, an older couple, significantly older than childbearing age, waiting for their first child. Waiting. Now, in this account, this passage this morning, we have a personal waiting within a greater waiting. Now, the personal waiting, couples who do not have children, who especially want children, would wholeheartedly agree that they are waiting for children. They are waiting for God to open the womb and bless them with children. And they wait. And they wait. They pray and they wait. They wait for the Lord to answer and to bless. And this is no small waiting. The story of Abraham and Sarah is such an example. The Lord used this couple more. The Lord used Abraham and Sarah more than just to give encouragement to parents with no children. But such parents can learn from the Lord's working. He opens the womb. He gives life. And he blesses some childless couples with children after a period of waiting. Now, the Lord obviously used Abraham and Sarah for more than just a good example for childless couples. He used them more than teaching God's people how to be faithful in the midst of waiting. He used Abraham and Sarah to fulfill his promise of the seed who would bless the nations. That is, the promised seed of Jesus the Christ. And God used Zechariah and Elizabeth in a similar manner. So you have an older couple with no children. God opened the womb and gave life. He blessed a waiting couple and a waiting people. He blessed a waiting people. The one who was born from the womb of Elizabeth was not the Messiah. John was not the Messiah. God did not bring the Redeemer from this particular older couple. But he answered a previous waiting for Israel. He fulfilled a promise to the people. And this brings us back to Malachi, as mentioned earlier. In Malachi's ministry to Israel, he brought a prophetic promise from the Lord. Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says Yahweh of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says Yahweh of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Now, in this prophetic message, the Elijah of whom Malachi spoke was John the forerunner. We heard that in Luke 1 already. This Elijah was John. And the Lord promised that John would come before the great and awesome day of the Lord. And that's the coming of the Son. That's the coming of God to earth. Now, this message Malachi delivered to Israel was over 400 years before John's birth. Talk about waiting. Waiting for that promised Son of Righteousness of whom Malachi also promised. The Son of Righteousness of whom we sing. Hark, the herald angels sing. Israel was waiting for Yahweh's deliverance and his judgment on the wicked, and they waited for over 400 years. So when the promise began to be fulfilled, the people had good reason to rejoice. But even more than that, the waiting made it better. Maybe not in the middle of it. Maybe not during those 400 plus years of silence. Nobody rejoices in the waiting. Nobody ever says, you know, I'm glad this is taking so long. Boys and girls, how many of you rejoice in the days and weeks leading up to Christmas where you get to stare at the wrapped present underneath the tree? I'm so glad I don't get to open that present today. I'm so glad I have to wait. We want it right now. But God has a purpose in the waiting. For one, we do get to enjoy the gifts after the waiting. Our appreciation, our joy is heightened. Imagine you're sitting in a chair in your living room in the middle of the afternoon, and you have a cold drink. You take a sip. It's pretty good. It's a good cold drink. But after a long, hard day of work in the hot sun, how's that cold drink? It's a little better. A little better after the waiting. How much would we appreciate the story of The Lord of the Rings, if after meeting Gandalf, the hobbits got on board the eagles, they flew to Mount Doom and just dropped the ring in the volcano. Just like that. The book would be like one chapter, maybe two. What kind of story would that be? How much does our appreciation grow with the buildup, with the drama, with the waiting? Imagine our Bibles, Adam and Eve fall in the garden, and God condescends in the spirit of the day, and the Son just walks over and crushes the head of the serpent right there. We don't need the rest of the Bible. Just like that, it's done. Would that have been a better story? Isn't the rejoicing of the people far greater when the challenges are more difficult? And isn't the author of the story, doesn't he get more glory when the people rejoice more greatly? 400 plus years of silence was hard. 4,000 plus years of God's people waiting for the Redeemer. Those years were hard. That was a lot of people. That was a lot of sin and death. That was a lot of waiting. Yet here we are, 2,000 plus years later, and we are still rejoicing in the fulfillment of the promise. We're still telling the story of John. We're still exulting in the coming king. And we'll do it for thousands of more generations. It's pretty glorious, huh? So the waiting for Israel was long. And it was long just to get to John. And John simply preached to the people to prepare for the coming of the king. And sure enough, that king came. When the fullness of time had come, the Father sent his Son. Meaning, God had a plan all along. The Son came in his timing. God's people waiting was part of the plan. It was built in. It was not a defect of the plan. The waiting was part. And the Son of God came in the flesh. Heaven came to earth. The Son came in grace and in truth. Boys and girls, you know what John 3:16 is? For God so loved the world that he gave up his Son. For God so loved, the Father gave him up in love. The Son came in love. And that Son, that King, came to win the victory. And he won that victory. And his rule in his victory was established in heaven and on earth. Jesus Christ is currently the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He reigns over all. This is reality. This is objective, whether one wants to admit it or not. Now we rejoice in it. We rejoice that Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. We rejoice in his good plan. And we rejoice in his perfect timing. We can reflect as we read Luke 1. We can reflect and say, wait it out, Zacharias. Hold on, Elizabeth. Israel, be faithful. Trust in God's promises. After Malachi, there was no more prophetic word from the Lord. The ministry of the prophets had stopped. That was the last message. Malachi was the last of the prophets until John. So the people had to live. They had to carry on with that last promise. Zechariah and Elizabeth, all the faithful Jews who were waiting for Yahweh's deliverance, were thinking about that last promise. And 400 plus is a long time to wait. Moses had to wait for 400 years, or 40 years, and he didn't even get to enter the promised land. He waited and didn't get it. That was a long time. Israel had to wait in silence for the promised forerunner. Israel had to wait for the promised kingdom, the promised king. Waiting by faith. So when Zechariah got this message, it was a confirmation to the waiting, a fulfillment of God's promise. Does the Lord fulfill his promises? Yes. Yes and amen in Jesus. He might not fulfill them on our schedules, but on his own. We get frustrated when things don't happen how we want them to happen and when we want them to happen. We get especially frustrated when it appears God isn't answering. God, you promised good to me. You promised that this would happen. Why isn't your fulfillment of a promise meeting my expectations? We don't ever say it that way. But isn't that what it boils down to? The fulfillment of God's promises don't meet my expectations, our expectations. He always comes through. And he always comes through in a grand and glorious way. Far greater than we can ever ask or imagine. Yet, we get frustrated in the middle of it. We get frustrated during the challenges we face. And of course, we get frustrated in the waiting. I want it right now. I know you come through, Lord. I know your plan is always greater. I know your timing is always perfect. But I still want it my way right now. My timing. Adam, don't grab the fruit. Abraham, don't take your wife's servant. Moses, don't strike the rock. Trust the Lord. Trust his promises. Trust his plan. And that includes trusting in his timing. Undoubtedly, Zechariah and Elizabeth wanted a child, and Israel wanted a Messiah. And those Bible believers living during those days knew the prophecies. And they wanted the forerunner to come to prepare the way for the Messiah. They had been waiting. So we can understand the great joy that was promised in Gabriel's message. In verse 14, Gabriel says, "You will have joy and gladness, Zechariah. You will have joy and gladness. And many will rejoice at John's birth." That's parental joy for a childless couple. And that's covenantal joy for God's people. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice. Zechariah, Elizabeth, you'll have a son. Israel, the son is going to be somebody. Verse 15, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord." He's going to do great things. But more than that, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He is significant. And you know from your Bible studies in Malachi that that message means something far greater. Israel, you know in your brains, you know in your memory that this is going to lead to the coming of the Son of Righteousness. Parents will rejoice. People will rejoice. That is great news. And it's significant news. God was bringing his plan to fruition. God was fulfilling his promises. And the people rejoiced in God. They rejoiced in his promises. The waiting was coming to an end. Something was happening. And that happening was salvation. Salvation was coming in the Son of God. Now, brothers and sisters, we know this story. We read it every year. We know how the story goes. We know how it went for Zechariah and Elizabeth. We know how it went for Mary. We know John and Jesus. We know how the Gospels played out. We know that his kingdom is established on earth. We know when the cross was planted in the ground, that was a victorious flag for Jesus Christ, claiming heaven and earth. We know it, we celebrate it, we live by it. We live it by faith when we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We trust that God is effecting his plan on earth right now, today. We live it by faith when we consider that the leaven is working through the loaf as the church disciples the nations. We know this is true where we see the church growing and the nation becoming more and more Christian. And we know it by faith when it doesn't look like that's happening, when our eyes don't see that. We live this story by faith when we worship and sing and study God's word and evangelize and serve and minister the kingdom to those in our homes, those in our communities. And we do all of this because the King has come. Because he's brought his kingdom to earth. We do this all by faith. And we do this waiting. Waiting for the Spirit to bring the growth. For the leaven to actually work through the loaf. We do it faithfully while the Lord works out details in our lives and works out details in our church. As we wait for him to work his glorious plan and his perfect timing. Is it always easy? No. We want to open the presents today. We want to grab the fruit right now. We don't want to wait. But God sees glory in the waiting. In his people waiting by faith, trusting in him. He sees value in our sanctification and making us wait. in growing us in maturity. So this Advent, brothers and sisters, let's appreciate the wait. It's challenging. It's not easy. What value is there in us waiting in this situation or that situation in life? What might God be doing in the middle of that? In this Advent, let us remember that the Son is King, and He is on His throne, and He is still executing His will on earth by His Spirit. The kingdom is growing. And let us wait for His second Advent, when the final enemy, death, is put under His feet. Let us wait by faith. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Holy Father and Lord God, we rejoice in You. We praise You for our redemption, the freedom we have from sin and death in Your Son, our King, Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your glorious plan and Your work through Your perfect timing. Strengthen us, Lord, in all things that we may greater trust in You and submit to Your will for us. Bless us in our waiting and our persevering, that You may be glorified in us and our service to You and Your kingdom. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.
If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact Deacons at Christ Church, Branch Cove.org.